Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 1. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." This is the text. Today we are stepping out of our march through the Pentecost season and our journey through Luke's gospel as we normally use the lessons of the three-year series. But today we are recognizing the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and they have the theme of come and see. We get material from the LWML to use for putting the service together, but I almost stuck with the appointed lessons for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, because the regular appointed gospel reading, which we are not reading this morning, from Luke 17, is Jesus' words to his disciples, speaking to them about the true nature of a servant, where he speaks of the servant who does the work of the master that the master appoints him to do, and he completes the work, does not expect gratification for the work that is done, but simply says, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty." The understanding of service to the master with that parable of Jesus as its focal point really sums up the work of the LWML so well. They do so much behind the scenes. Now, I see it all the time, and things around here just get done. And for those of you who are not familiar with the work of the LWML, the ladies offer you an invitation to come and see. But inviting you to participate and be a part of their organization is not what the focus of that theme really is, of come and see. The focus is what we hear in our scripture readings. The appointed lessons that the LWML suggested that we use this morning use these words and show the full meaning of it, beginning in Isaiah, where the Lord says, "They shall come and see my glory." These words are spoken against those who have rejected the Lord. The Lord says, "I know their work and their thoughts." The previous verses leading up to what is our Old Testament reading contain some very harsh words of judgment from the Lord. He says of those who are sitting under his judgment, "They shall come and they shall see my glory." What is the glory of the Lord that they shall see? Well, Isaiah tells us of how God is going to rescue the survivors, the faithful remnant, out from all of the nations. His glory is to rescue you, to bring you and all of his children from the farthest reaches of the earth to himself, by whatever means he can. And that's where you get on litters and on dromedaries and from Tarshish, which was the farthest point away from Israel that they knew of on the map. His glory is to rescue you from the farthest reaches of the earth, to bring you out of the great tribulation that we hear of in John's Revelation, to wash you in the blood of the Lamb, to rescue you out of this sinful, fallen world that is going to continue to be caught up, as Paul says, in the bondage to decay, and eventually all of the world will experience the horrible conditions that Isaiah speaks of and all of the prophets talk about when they talk about what is going to happen to Israel and Jerusalem in particular. You read Jeremiah and Lamentations. and you see the destruction and the desperation that happens as the Israelites go into exile. And that is seen as a microcosm, a small little window into what is going to happen worldwide eventually in the desperate days leading up to the end. We have not seen it yet in our city, but if you watch the news and you see the cities in places like Syria, where the destruction and the desperation is near complete. You see it in Venezuela, as there are people who are starving. Scripture is filled with warnings of the end, and that the devastation will be so complete. Even Jesus speaks of this as he is carrying the cross to Calvary. And he quotes the prophet Hosea, saying, "Blessed are the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed." Basically, the people in those days who have no children will be considered blessed because they won't have to see their children suffer. We see little glimpses of that today, which is why the church continues to work to help rescue those people, rescue them with the gospel. You see in the words of the prophets how desperate this world will become, where people will be forced to eat things that would never be served at an LWML-sponsored event. You see this all through Scripture. But rather, we hear words of promise. The Lord says of those who have come out of the great tribulation, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is your shepherd who will guide you to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from your eye." And our Lord says, "Come and see." Just as Philip says to Nathanael, "Come and see." We offer that greeting, that welcoming to the world. Now Philip, he offers this invitation to Nathanael because of what he had come to know. He had come to see that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was the one written of in Moses and the prophets. Like we saw last week with the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man wanted Lazarus to go back to earth from the dead and basically scare straight his five brothers who... He wanted to warn them about the torments of hell. But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not listen even if someone should rise from the dead." Why did Philip recognize Jesus as the Messiah, as the Anointed One, as the Son of God himself? Because he was looking for him in the right place. It is in his word and his word alone that God permits himself to be found. That's not just something Pastor Eden says. Martin Luther says that also. I stole the quote from him. And he's right. It is the word of Moses and the prophets. It is the word of Jesus. That's what had done the work in drawing Philip to know who Jesus is. When Jesus comes along and says to Philip, "Follow me," he follows him. But Jesus was no stranger to Philip, or at least his message was not. And John lets us know this in how he portrays the calling of the disciples. John indicates in his gospel, this isn't the first encounter Philip had with Jesus or his message. John tells us of Jesus there on the banks of the Jordan River. John the Baptist cries out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, he was a disciple of John the Baptist. So he spends the day with Jesus. He is the first of Jesus' disciples. It can be implied that Andrew, being a disciple of John the Baptist, was there the day before when John baptized Jesus. And he heard the voice of God thundering down from the heavens, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So Andrew, having had this revealed to him about who Jesus is from John and from Jesus himself, goes to Peter, his brother, and says, "We have found the Messiah." After that, we are told that Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip very likely heard of Jesus, certainly from Andrew and Peter. Philip was not blindly following a stranger. And even if this was the first time that Philip had physically seen Jesus, which is unlikely, they're all from Galilee. Galilee is like a group of little small towns. It would be, you know, like people from Golden and Clayton and the towns out there not knowing each other after living there all their life. You know, you tend to know pretty much everybody, or at least you think you know everything about everybody. And that's how Galilee is. So Jesus, having grown up there, would have been familiar to them, especially as everybody's talking about stuff that is going on up in that region. But even if this was the first time that Philip had physically seen Jesus, John indicates he had been told about him. And he recognized him, because he is the one spoken of by Moses and the prophets. So Philip can confidently go to Nathanael, "Come and see." Our message to the world is the same message handed down by Moses and the prophets. And the confidence we have in the message of the gospel comes from the Word of God. It is in the Word and Word alone that God permits himself to be found. And we can say to everyone, "Come and see." The work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, the work of these Lutheran women in mission, is to provide opportunity for the Word of God to be heard. And they have been faithfully doing that for many years. And they say, "Come and see. Come and see the glory of the Lord revealed as he rescues the survivors out of the great tribulation. We are the survivors of the nations of whom Isaiah spoke. We have seen the glory of the Lord revealed as Christ has come to us. He is the one of whom Moses and the prophets wrote. He has come to us and he continues to come to us as we gather with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven around the very body and blood of Christ himself. There will come a day when we shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Until that day, we get a foretaste of the feast to come in the broken body and shed blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our Lord invites you to come and see." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.